Turn your tax refund into a new landscape with Menards. Make this the year you check that project off the list. Create stunning patios and build strong retaining walls with our huge in-stock selection of beautiful concrete blocks ready to take home today. Plus, easily build and design your own raised garden beds with our garden block. On sale now. Check out our weekly flyer and start saving on landscape blocks now at Menards. Save big money at
Menards. This program was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword LoveSport.
Welcome to the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, between 2 and 3 o'clock on this Friday afternoon. It's Friday the 13th of December. Coming up over the next hour, we'll be looking ahead to all of the Championship action coming up over the weekend. It gets underway tonight at the Valley. Charlton, only 2 wins since the middle of September, host Hull in desperate need of a win, but still mounting injury problems for Lee Bowyer. We'll be talking about Brentford. Ollie Watkins has been in pretty inspired form for Brentford so far this season. We'll also be talking a little bit about Blackburn, who won a great run at the moment, looking to make it 6 games unbeaten tomorrow afternoon. And remember, if you want to get in touch with us this afternoon, call us on 0208 7020 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp. So make sure you get in contact with us this afternoon. You may have heard it over the last few days here on Love Sport and want to echo these thoughts as well. We are going national from Monday. It's fantastic news for us. So from the beginning of next week, you'll be able to listen to us on digital radio across the UK. You don't just need to be here in London to listen to us on digital radio. It doesn't matter whether you're down in the south, southwest, whether you're up in the northeast, you can listen to us throughout your journey, which is obviously great news for us. Great news for you as well. Make sure you spread the word across to anyone that you know. And also, we'll be having lots more new fan shows coming soon as well. So make sure you stay tuned. Obviously, we're going national from Monday on digital radio across the UK. So obviously, fantastic news for us here at Love Sport. Let's look ahead then to all of the Championship action coming up this week and just actually looking at some of the awards this month. Obviously, it's that time where you start being awarded things for last month. Jarrod Bowen has been named the Championship Player of the Month. So good moment for the whole player. He'll be in action tonight in the first game of the weekend. It is Charlton against Hull at the Valley. Charlton are set to have Lyle Taylor back, and it's been obviously a very injury-strewn season for Lee Bowyer's side so far this season. They've had well into double figures of injuries. It hasn't helped them. They started the season like an absolute steam train, but in recent months, things have very much slipped. 2 wins in their last 15 games means that they really need to start winning games, or else they really will be sucked into a relegation battle. They host Hull, who are 3 places above them, but 6 points better off. Jarrod Bowen, as I mentioned, Player of the Month in the Championship for November. Then on to Saturday's action at St Andrews. It's Birmingham against West Brom. Birmingham in and around mid-table. West Brom knocked off the top of the table. They were up against Wigan in the week and were quite fortuitous in their 1-1 draw away at Wigan, and it meant that they are now off the top of the table by a matter of 1 goal on goal difference behind Leeds. Both sides are 11 points clear of third place, but West Brom, for the first time in a long while, knocked off the top of the table. They'll be looking to return as they go to Birmingham tomorrow. Barnsley take on QPR. Barnsley rooted to the bottom of the table, 7 points from safety. They host a QPR side that were in very, very bad form, a bit like Charlton, but they have won back-to-back games to start getting back on a winning run. They won at Birmingham but they were playing Birmingham in the week and won 2-0 away from home. Brentford take on Fulham at Griffin Park. It looks like a really good game in prospect for us. Brentford I think their recent form, I mean, it just sums up the championship so far this season. You look at their last five games, win, loss, win, loss, win. So what are we going to see this weekend? Loss to keep that running going. But Fulham, having won four games straight, they've now lost back-to-back games against Bristol City and Preston. So they'll be looking back to get back to winning ways. Fulham currently occupying third position in the championship table. Bristol City host Blackburn down at Ashton Gate. Bristol City are up into fourth place at the moment. They're on 35 points, the same number of points as Fulham in third. They are at home, as I said, against Blackburn, who are looking to make it six games unbeaten. They've won four and drawn one of their last five games, so they're in really good form. However, they are going to be without Bradley Dack. He is suspended, having been sent off in the week against Swansea. We'll be talking more about Blackburn later in the hour. At Pride Park, it's Derby against Millwall. There actually is a Wayne Rooney press conference coming up very, very soon. Obviously, he's a player coach. He can only appear as a coach at the moment in the dugout. However, he will obviously be able to become a player or play in a playing capacity from the 1st of January. He has been training, so you'd imagine that he would come into contention straight away. But obviously at the moment, he can just coach for the next couple of weeks. At Elland Road, it is the new table toppers, Leeds, who've won seven straight games after winning again against Hull in the week. They host Cardiff City, who are on a good run. They did lose in midweek to Brentford. However, Neil Harris has made a very solid start, to say the least, at Cardiff, despite his appointment being met with quite a lot of negativity. But a tough game for Leeds, that, but at home and the run they're on, seven straight wins, you'd imagine they will still win that game. At the City Ground, it's Nottingham Forest up against Sheffield Wednesday. Two sides near the top of the table. Forest in fifth place. Remember, they do have a game in hand, having had a game against Reading postponed due to a waterlogged pitch. So fifth place, Nottingham Forest take on eighth place Sheffield Wednesday, who've won two, drawn two of their last four games. Preston take on Luton. Preston's form has been horrendous. However, they did manage to stop the rot. They'd lost four straight games, but they did beat Fulham in the week. So an important victory for them. Luton, you look at their last five games, very patchy. Loss, win, loss, win, loss. They'll be looking to get back to winning ways this weekend. They need to try and put more distance between themselves and the relegation zone. One side in the relegation zone are Stoke. They are just one place away from it and 3 points now away from relegation, or away from safety, sorry. They take on 18th place Reading, who things were going well under Mark Bowen. They got that initial bounce, but that seems to have just waned a little bit in recent weeks. Swansea take on Middlesbrough. Swansea's form has been utterly terrible. It wasn't that long ago, not only within the top six, but they were even in the top two in the championship. They've slipped to 11th place in the table. They take on Middlesbrough in 20th place, who are 4 points above the relegation zone. Interestingly, Jonathan Woodgate, who has said how they need signings in January, they need to reinforce a squad, suggested that maybe Darren Randolph could be on the way to West Ham in January. Obviously, Randolph used to play for West Ham, and they could be looking at bringing him back to London. So interesting to keep an eye out on that one for Middlesbrough. And finally, Wigan, who are second from bottom. They take on Huddersfield in 19th. It looked like the bounce was ending there under Danny Cowley. They'd gone seven games unbeaten. They then gone on a poor run, but they did win in midweek away at Charlton. I was talking about that great story about the teenager, Matty Daly, who scored for Huddersfield, the teenager, in the 92nd minute. What a great moment to score your first senior goal there. So Wigan take on Huddersfield. Looking at the table as it stands going into the weekend, as I mentioned, it gets underway tonight at the Valley. Leeds go into it as the table toppers. West Brom have been sat there for quite a significant amount of time, but Leeds are now ahead of them. It is by just the one goal on goal difference, so in theory, both sides could win and there could be a new team at the top of the table. But Leeds go into it top on 46, West Brom obviously on the same number of points. In the playoff positions, Fulham and Bristol City are both on 35. They're third and fourth respectively. Forest and Preston both on 34 points, fifth and sixth respectively. And then you have Brentford, Sheffield Wednesday, Cardiff, Blackburn, Swansea, QPR. I mean, you can keep going on because the championship is still so concertinaed. And down near the bottom, Barnsley are still rooted to the bottom, 7 points from safety on 13 points. Wigan and Stoke both on 17 points. They are occupying the two other spots in the relegation zone. And just outside the relegation zone, Luton, Middlesbrough, Huddersfield, Reading and Charlton, only just a matter of points, are outside of the relegation zone. I said a number of weeks ago how it was going, the kind of concertina effect of the championship would surely be ended very, very soon. But it doesn't look like that is the case. You look at Birmingham in 15th compared to Fulham in 3rd. There are just 7 points between 12 sides. That just shows that things are still very, very tight in the championship. The fixtures are coming thick and fast. Obviously, we had a midweek round of fixtures in the championship this week. Will this weekend start to move teams away from each other? Obviously, we're building up to Christmas and the fixtures just are coming thick and fast at the moment. Remember, if you want to get in contact with us this afternoon, call us on 0208 7020 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp. So make sure you get in contact with us this afternoon and you stay tuned here on the Championship Fan Show. We'll be back after this.
Love Sport.
Welcome back to the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 3 o'clock this afternoon. Remember, if you want to get in contact with us this afternoon, call us on 0208 7020 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp. So make sure you get in contact with us this afternoon. And as you may have heard, you may have heard it a few times, but obviously it's great news for us, is the news that we are going national on Monday. So from the beginning of next week, you'll be able to listen to us on digital radio across the UK. Obviously, it's great news for us, and you can spread the word to friends, to family about this fantastic new venture for us into national radio. Plus, there'll be plenty of new fan shows coming your way very, very soon as well. So it's fantastic news for us, fantastic news for you out there as well. Love Sport going national from next Monday, and you can listen to us on digital radio across the UK. In the last hour, obviously in the Premier League fan show, we were talking about transfer stories. It's inevitably that time of the year where we get close to January, and in addition to thinking about Christmas, we also think about the January transfer window, which players might or might not, or our clubs might not sign in the next window. And obviously, it's not just Premier League clubs that we'll be thinking about that. It's also Championship clubs, which players could be moving into Championship moves in terms of moving from one Championship club to another, or Championship players making the move into the Premier League and whether these players are ready. We actually saw a few, in particular in centre forward positions, get the opportunity last season, or sorry, for the beginning of this season, to make the move into the Premier League. You look at two in particular, two of the top goal scorers from last season, Ollie McBurnie making the move from Swansea to Sheffield United, and then also Neil Morpay from Brentford to Brighton. Now, you look at those two and you think, how have they done? I think Neil Morpay has been the better signing so far. Very, very similar amounts of money, so pretty much on a level playing field. Both scored well over 20 goals in the league for their respective clubs last season. And I think with Neil Morpay, you're seeing a bit more from him because, I mean, it has helped. He's played slightly more regularly than Ollie McBurnie has. It seems like Morpay has displaced Glenn Murray at Brighton. But I think what we're seeing from Neil Morpay is more than just simply scoring goals, because in reality, someone like Neil Morpay isn't going to be able to score the volume of goals in the Championship than in the Premier League. That's simply not going to happen. So you're not going to get as many chances, but he is scoring some goals. But I think what's impressed me quite a lot about Neil Morpay is his work out of possession, his work off the ball, that he seems to press really, really well. His link-up play seems to be very, very good. And so I think we're seeing a good all-round game. Ollie McBurnie, I think maybe the jury's still out on him. He scored a couple of goals this season, but isn't really ripping up any trees. Neither is Neil Morpay, but I think Morpay's added more to his club than McBurnie has done this season for Sheffield United. But it's an interesting one because you compare those two with another Championship striker that made the move into the Premier League, and that's Che Adams, who made the move from Birmingham to Southampton very early on in the summer transfer window, I think before Morpay and McBurnie, for about £15 million. Southampton secured his signature very early doors. And he has really struggled. He hasn't scored a goal in the Premier League for Southampton this season. And it struck me in a few games where there was a game against Chelsea down at St Mary's. And he had an absolutely fantastic chance to score. It was quite a tight angle, but he blazed it high and wide. And obviously, it's still very early doors, and he may go on to actually be a decent Premier League striker. We don't know. We don't know what the future holds, and it is perhaps a bit unfair on us to judge players so quickly, considering he only made the move in the summer, and we're not even into the new year. So he's still very new to Premier League football. But what I've seen from Che Adams this season is the main reason why Championship strikers in particular struggle with playing Premier League football and struggled to replicate their form in the Championship to the Premier League. One of the big differences between the two is you use examples like Morpay, McBurney, Adams that scored over 20 Championship goals last season. They get plenty of opportunities in a game. They probably get 4 or 5 chances in a game. And so they don't just get restricted to one. They get plenty. So they can miss a couple and still end the game with 1 or 2 goals. And that's why you see those strikers score well over 20 goals in a league season. In the Premier League, and also, you factor in McBurney was playing for Swansea, who weren't fantastic last season, but they were okay. They also had the likes of Daniel James, who's another player that's made a step up and really impressed in the Premier League so far this season in a slightly different position. But you look at Morpay at Brentford, a decent side there with some good attacking players, that in the Championship, you get plenty of opportunities. The reality is, when you get to Premier League football, those chances are much more sparse. And you may only get one opportunity in a whole 90 minutes. And that's, I think, what Che Adams in particular is experiencing at the moment, especially at a side like Southampton, where they're in and around the relegation zone. They're not thriving at the moment. They've not got a whole host of creative players that are giving him 4 or 5 chances a game. He, as I said, could be restricted to one chance in a game. And if he wastes that chance, that's it. He's not scoring a goal in the game. So that's one of the big challenges with making that leap from the Championship into the Premier League, is that can you realistically go into the Premier League knowing that you may only get one chance in a game? You might not even really get an absolute gilt edge chance. It might be a half chance. Can you take those opportunities? We're not expecting anyone to score every single game of every single season. But I think with someone like Che Adams, I think there is the caveat that he plays for Southampton, who are a side just outside the relegation zone. And yes, he's only, not even 6 months into his first season in the Premier League. But from what I've seen, there are startling signs, if you're looking at it, if you're a Southampton fan, looking at it and thinking, these are chances that realistically you've got to take, because you're not going to be given 5 chances in a game to score a goal. You may just get that one opportunity, and at the moment, Che Adams just simply isn't taking those opportunities. So it leads me on to thinking which players could make the move, either in January or in the summer, and whether these players can make that step up into the Premier League. You look at the top goal scorers currently in the Championship, and I'll go through most of the top 10. Alexander Mitrovic currently leads it. We know he's good enough to play Premier League football. He's too good for this level. He scored 16 goals so far this season. I think Fulham have got a decent chance of getting promoted into the Premier League. So he may be able to stay at Fulham and take his place up in the Premier League. Jarrod Bowen is one of the first names I wanted to mention. 14 goals and 4 assists so far this season. For me, that's outstanding. Considering, one, he's not a centre-forward. Any Hull fan will tell you that is not his position. And number two, he plays, no disrespect to Hull fans, and we spoke to Jonty Coleman the other day, and I don't think he was particularly annoyed by me saying this. Hull are not a particularly good side. They're an average run-of-the-mill Championship side. So for him to be able, and I'm trying to make that point, to show that Jarrod Bowen, to be able to score that volume of goals at this stage of the season, not even being a centre-forward, is an outstanding achievement. I'm so surprised last summer that he didn't get the move. In January, surely there must be a lot of Premier League clubs, I'm thinking down near the bottom of the Premier League, they usually get very, very desperate. This is the time when actually Hull might get more for their money. That if you're thinking about it, Hull won't want to lose Jarrod Bowen in January. Of course they won't. But ultimately, and I think Jonty said this the other day, every player has their price. And I think Hull would be risking potentially relegation if they sold Jarrod Bowen, considering the reliance they have on him. But January is notoriously a difficult window to buy, which I don't completely buy, but it is more challenging than the summer. There'll be Premier League clubs down near the bottom, either in the relegation zone or flirting with it, that will be desperate for signings, and they'll be looking, I've no doubt about it, at Jarrod Bowen. Hull can look at that and think, well, we can charge an extra £5-10 million here because we know how desperate they are for a player like him. they are looking at least £20 million, especially considering what Adams, Morpay, McBurnie went for last summer. To be able to produce those numbers is fantastic. Ollie Watkins, 13 goals so far this season. I think he'll stay at Brentford because I think Brentford think they've got a decent chance of promotion this season. Carlin Grant is another one that's pretty likely to be on the move. He's scored 11 goals so far this season for a very struggling Huddersfield side that are only just outside the relegation zone. He's a player that I think Huddersfield would do very well. They're not going to be able to keep him beyond the end of the season because Huddersfield aren't getting promoted. And I think there'll be bigger clubs, no disrespect to Huddersfield, there'll be bigger clubs in for Carlin Grant's signature. You look through the list, Stephen Fletcher, Lewis Grabban, I think realistically the Championship is their level. Eberechi Eze, he's another player, or Eze. I like calling him Eze because he's quite clearly making it look very easy at the moment. 9 goals and 4 assists so far for him. He's been linked to a number of different Premier League clubs. Actually, I think in recent weeks he's been linked to 2 other London clubs, Tottenham and Chelsea. He quite clearly is a young player that is going to earn that move, a bit like Ryan Sessegnon. He's going to earn that move at some point, irrelevant of whether QPR get relegated. You just have to ask that question. If he were, and it would be difficult for a player at QPR to turn down a move to either Tottenham or to Chelsea because realistically they're miles bigger clubs than QPR and QPR playing the Championship. You've just got to ask yourself the question, is it the right move to go to Tottenham or Chelsea at this stage of his career? It's his decision. I don't think it would necessarily be the right time to do it, but it would be difficult for him to turn down. Bradley Dack as well, he's a bit like Jarrod Byrne in some ways, in terms of he's got 9 goals so far, and I am surprised that no one went in for him last summer. He has such an influence on this Blackburn side. It does feel like when Blackburn play well, it's because Bradley Dack has played well. And therefore, when Bradley Dack doesn't play well, Blackburn don't play well. And they're going to have to deal without him tomorrow afternoon because he is suspended. He got sent off against Swansea in the week, so he won't be available for Blackburn when they make the trip to Bristol City tomorrow afternoon. But he's another player that I'm sure will garner significant interest. Probably not with Bradley Dack in January, but I think going into the summer, it is something that they will be looking to do. So it'll be interesting to see in January as to how many players make that move. I don't think we're going to see many Championship players make the move to the Premier League in January, but it will be interesting. I think there are four players, really, that we're looking at here. I think we're looking at Jarrod Byrne. I think we're looking at Carlin Grant, Eberechi Eze, and Bradley Dack as well, as to whether they may make moves in January. If not, pretty likely in the summer. I also wanted to talk about a story that you may have seen this week that's in the Times today. Martin Ziegler writes the article today. Clubs hopeful of salary cap. Moves to introduce a salary cap for the 72 English Football League clubs have been given impetus. And that's as a result of, in another sport, as you may have seen over the last few weeks and months, surrounding Saracens in the Rugby Premier, in the Gallagher Premiership. Obviously, our premier rugby competition in this country. They were docked 35 points and fined just over £5 million for breaches of the salary cap. And we've seen it's been well documented in recent months about clubs being kind of pushing salary caps or pushing caps and then being done by EFL rules. Clubs including Tranmere Rovers and Accrington Stanley have been pushing for a fixed cap to replace the financial fair play rules. You look at clubs that have been done over the last couple of years and the state of some clubs like Macclesfield or Bury. There is an argument to say that there should be a salary cap. I think, as a massive rugby fan myself as well, I think the salary cap is a wise move. I can understand why some people don't like it. But ultimately, this is talking about the long-term preservation of the sport and a sustainability. Because if you didn't have a salary cap, and I use the example of rugby clubs here, if you have a super rich owner that ploughs loads and loads and loads of money, pumps millions of pounds into that rugby club, at some point, one day, he will decide, or she will decide, that they don't want to continue as the owner. And so if they pull the plug, where does that leave that club? Because unless they can find someone as rich, which isn't necessarily possible, then that's going to leave that club in a really awful state. And It may be that you have a successful time for 10 years, but it may be also that your club doesn't exist in 15 years' time because it's had to go into liquidation. I think back going back into the 90s when Richmond, as a rugby club, went into liquidation due to salary cap rules. You look at someone like London Welsh. They plunged so much money into the club to try and get themselves into the Premiership. They then got relegated. They couldn't sustain their spending and therefore went into liquidation. That I think you'd rather your club still be a club in 30 years' time than have it be successful for 10 years and then not exist in 20 years' time. So I think it's an important debate to have, and it's interesting how he can make these links between the Football League and rugby about the sustainability of these clubs, that some clubs are just spending money that they simply don't have, bankrupting themselves to try and move themselves up in the world, to try and be more successful, and it just leads to them falling into complete disarray. And I understand that some people don't like salary caps and some people do. But what it does do is it improves the sustainability. It means that it is to an extent a level playing field for a lot of people. And I think a salary cap could help in the EFL. We've had so many problems with EFL clubs, whether it be Birmingham. Sheffield Wednesday are currently under investigation and charged by the EFL for the sale of their stadium. You look down the, obviously, what's happened to Bury, what's happening at Macclesfield at the moment, that maybe a salary cap could solve these issues. It's not a guarantee, because nothing is a guarantee in life, but I think a salary cap is something that could be looked at for the EFL as a way of improving sustainability. These clubs, fans of these clubs, want to be able to see their clubs play in 20 years' time. They don't want a situation like Bury, where now they don't get to see their club play. That's where I think cap rules do come in, and a sustainability will help. If you've got any views on that, call us on 0208 7020 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Lost Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp. Later in the hour, we're going to talk about Blackburn. They're looking to make it 6 matches unbeaten tomorrow afternoon away at Bristol City. But up next, we'll be talking all things Brentford.
This is Love Sport.
Welcome back to the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 3 o'clock this afternoon. We're going to be talking about Brentford now, and I'm delighted to say we are joined by Billy the Bee Grant from the Besotted podcast. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Billy. 2-1 win at home against Cardiff in the week. These games are coming thick and fast, but at this stage of the season, Billy, are you just looking and thinking, results, that's it, that's the be all and end all, and as long as you're picking up 3 points, it's okay? Or are you looking for your team to marry up results with performances?
I mean, it's hard at this stage because, you know, we talk about December, you're getting through a hard December, and I think the difficulty is that, you know, this is the time when teams have a bit of fatigue, it's cold, it's dark, you've got loads of injuries, we've got, you know, quite a few injuries. We're not bleating on about it like other fans are doing from other clubs, you know. I mean, everyone has their problems, as we know, but we've just realised that, you know, everyone has their issues. You get players who are suspended, you get players who are injured, and you just kind of got to deal with it, and you have to kind of build your squad to kind of compensate for that. So, you know, against Sheffield Wednesday on Saturday, we had Pontus Janssen out and we had Henrik Dalsgaard out. There were two massively key players for us. They got the victory. It was a bit gutting, to be honest with you. They're back in on Wednesday against Cardiff, and you could see the difference them being in the side. I'm not saying that the players that came in, you know, were bad. You know, different players, and they added a different thing. And I think with Pontus Janssen, you saw how much of a leader he is on the pitch. When the going got a bit tough at Sheffield Wednesday, I think we needed a bit of real leadership out there just to dig us out. And he managed to do that. You know, Cardiff on Wednesday night, they had a little bit of a purple patch, probably similar to what to Wednesday did to a certain extent. But you could see that we just kind of just hung on in there and made sure that they didn't get the crucial sort of equalising goal that they needed. You know, as far as I'm concerned, for me, the fact that we've got these injuries at the moment now, which, like I said to you, we're putting in players who are getting game time, so that's good for them. We want to try and get through the December period into January, so that, you know, in January's time, we've got a few players from abroad. We've got Dervisoglu, who's playing at Sparta Rotterdam at the moment now, and he's scoring goals for them. You know, we've got Emilio Marcondes, who's in Denmark. He's playing for Midtjylland, who are top of the league in Denmark at the moment now, and he scored for them as well. And we've also got that's one more player as well, actually. We've got another player. Oh, yeah, of course, Marcus Forst, who's playing for Wimbledon, who's scoring goals for them. So we've got those players out on loan. We might pull them back or we might not, but we need to get to January to see what that decision is going to be, so we can we're going to strengthen our side in some way, and I think that's where it is for me.
Another goal in the week, Billy, for Ollie Watkins. He's up to 13 goals for the season. I remember when he was coming through at Exeter, having obviously myself being down there at university, and he was an exciting young prospect, went to Brentford. Considering you sold Neil Maupay in the summer for £20-odd million to Brighton, did you realistically expect Watkins to be able to realistically replicate what Maupay was doing last season for the club?
I think, you know, to replicate, you know, Maupay's got big shoes to fill. He's a brilliant striker. He's a brilliant, you know, he's a lovely bloke, brilliant striker. And he did big things for Brentford. You know, he scored 28 goals for us in a season, which somebody hasn't done that for a very long time, I think since Lloyd Owusu, which is back in the sort of kind of mid-2000s. So, you know, it's big shoes to fill, that one. And also Ollie Watkins played in a particular position. He was playing out in the wing, so he was getting goals, but also assists and helping to open up the play, open up the field. So all of a sudden, he's been flipped into being a striker. He was only became a striker because we failed to land the striker that we wanted to get. You know, we had our £20 million from Maupay. We were going to go for £7 million for a striker. Unfortunately, him and his management team caused all sorts of problems to the Brentford the recruitment department, that we ended up having to pull the deal at the time, which is a real gutter for us at the time, because we really wanted to get him. And then we were going to go for Lyle Taylor at Wimbledon. AFC Wimbledon. He moved from AFC Wimbledon to Charlton. So Lyle Taylor, we went in for him at the last minute, and we bid, you know, £2 million, £3 million, £4 million, trying to get that at the last minute. It didn't come over the line. So what I'm going to say to you is that, you know, we failed to fill that little gap. And fair play to Ollie Watkins when he came in. He said, please be patient with me. I've never done this before. You know, this is a new job for me. Fans, be patient. And he's gone in there and he's slowly learnt how to become, you know, not only goal scorer, but also tracking back and doing all the things and the graft that a striker will do. So for me, I think he's done a brilliant job. But I think what is a big bonus, people keep forgetting this, is that, yes, we spent a lot of money in the summer. You know, we spent 30 million in the summer, but we'd actually pulled in 60 million over two windows. So we were actually 30 million roughly in the black. And we've still got that money for that striker if we wanted to sign one in the window, or wanted to sign somebody else of decent value. So I'm thinking that, you know, if we're in the top six or in and around the top six, Brentford have actually got, you know, money to spend to actually bring him in, which is not going to put us in the red and make us have to sell our stadiums like, you know, Sheffield Wednesday have to.
Looking at the table as it stands, Billy, Brentford are seventh place, so in a solid position, just 1 point off the top six. You look at their last five games, it really is indicative of how the Championship's been this season so far. Win, loss, win, loss, win. Are Brentford still struggling with what seemingly pretty much all of the Championship, bar the top two, have been suffering from, and that's inconsistency?
I mean, you could say that, but you know, you take a snapshot on the first 3 months, and you can say that about certain teams. You know, you can take a snapshot on the last three months of the season, and things might look completely different. You look at Norwich last season; they were looking consistently inconsistent, like we were at the beginning of the season. But you look at their second half of the season, bang, like a rocket. And that was the same for Fulham the season before. So it's very easy for you to say these things in December, but you know, you've got to look at the season as a 9-month season, and things happen. Players get, you know, injured, players get suspended, players start losing form, players start gaining form. You know, as far as it is for Brentford, we've started with a team full of a lot of players in our team who were either not used to the English Football League, weren't used to the Championship, have never played league football, you know what I'm saying? So at all, they're, you know, fresh out of the B team and all this. So we've got a mixture of really quite green players, as well as some experienced players and players who were there before. And, you know, when we were getting a bit frustrated, the club was saying, look, they need time to gel, they need time to learn the pattern to play. And you can see as time has gone on, we've got a better side. And yes, we lost to Blackburn. That was a bit frustrating because the game, you know, Blackburn did, you know, what they did on us as normally, you know, big team, got the goal, kind of set deep, and it's a bit frustrating. And Sheffield Wednesday, to be honest with you, I truly believe that if Rico Henry didn't do that ridiculously bizarre penalty which he gave away when we were sort of 1-0 up, and their heads were kind of down for Sheffield Wednesday, and they had a few chances. They were getting into the game at that stage, but they weren't really kind of massively dominating. And as soon as they got that penalty, the game just turned on that. And like I said to you, we had two players out. Pontus Janssen's out, you know, and Henrik Dalsgaard was out. They decided to target, you know, our new young, you know, right back at the time. And, you know, these things happen. So we could have got away with getting a draw. We didn't quite get away with it. And that's just the way it goes. But, you know, we come out with a brilliant victory against Cardiff on Wednesday night, which was, you know, we we did the job really well. We scored some really good goals. I don't know if anyone's ever seen, but if you go onto Twitter and beside Twitter, BWSOTGD, you'll just see a move for Benrahma when he got that ball, sort of did some sort of kind of reverse turn around the player, played the ball off to Mbeumo, who's in the area. And there were six Cardiff fans around the two of the players, around the two of them. And we still managed to squeeze the ball in there and get the ball in the back of the net. So we're playing some brilliant football. Listen, I'm quite confident that looking at the quality of the Championship at the moment now, we should be there or thereabouts.
And just finally, Billy, looking ahead to the next game, it's obviously a pretty significant one against Fulham tomorrow afternoon. Both sides kind of in and around each other, only a matter of a couple of points separating the two sides. These are games I'm sure that both sets of fans look forward to.
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, the thing is, it makes me laugh because Fulham go, oh, it's Brentford's Cup final, If you look at it, they keep on talking about us all the time. And you can see that they're a little bit nervous about playing us. The fact is that, you know, yeah, Fulham's a big game from when I was a kid back in the day. It's a long time ago now. You know, it was the playing of Fulham and, you know, them coming down to Griffin Park. It was a huge, huge game, a huge West London derby. You know, we've had our ding-dongs with them in the 90s where we kind of, you know, we were better than them and then they got a bit of money and then they kind of superseded us. But, you know, we've had the great, you know, 4-0 victory at Griffin Park and, you know, we've had the 4-1, you know, in your own backyard where you're hotter in the last minute at Griffin. I mean, we've had some brilliant victories. I was listening to the Fulham Focus podcast the other day, earlier today, and it was making me laugh because they were scrabbling around trying to find one decent Brentford match that they could talk about. And I think they pulled up one from 1998, which is a bit worrying for them. But listen, we love playing Fulham. It's great. It's going to be a brilliant atmosphere. You know, we're ready for them. We've got, you know, we've got a decent side. You know, they spent loads of money, of course, you know, with their parachute money and their Premier League money, but that means nothing in this division. And I think Thomas Frank and the team are going to be ready. So I'm really, it's going to be tough, and I'm not going to say it's going to be an easy victory, but I think, if anything, we'd probably rather be playing Fulham tomorrow than somebody like, I don't know, somebody like, you know, I'd say Blackburn or, you know, a tough team that's going to go down there, put five in the middle, try and just kind of shut up shop and make us difficult to play against. So I think it's going to be a good game on Saturday tomorrow.
Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, Billy. That was Billy the B Grant from the Besotted Podcast. Remember, you can listen to the Brentford Fan Show here on Love Sport every Monday evening between 8 and 9 o'clock. So make sure, Brentford fans, you tune in to that. We'll be back after this.
Love Sport.
Welcome back to the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 3 o'clock this afternoon. Remember, if you want to get in touch, call us on 0208 7020 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We're also on WhatsApp, so make sure you get in touch with us. Also, some big news from us here at Love Sport Radio is the news that from this Monday, we are going national, so you'll be able to get Love Sport across the UK on digital radio. So when you follow your team up and down the country, you'll be able to listen to Love Sport the whole journey. Make sure you spread the word to your friends, your family outside of London, as they will be able to listen to all over the UK to the fresh new voice of sports radio. Plus, there'll be lots more fan shows coming your way very, very soon. Love Sport live across the UK on digital radio from Monday. Well, I mentioned how Wayne Rooney is having a press conference has had a press conference this afternoon. Obviously, he has joined Derby as a player coach. For the time being, he is just as a coach and then will become a player in January. So he's been sat down having his press conference this afternoon in front of the national media. Obviously, he's been talking about a variety of things. And firstly, he was asked whether he is looking forward to returning to English football.
Yeah, very excited. Obviously, it was a great experience for me in the States, and something which, again, I feel will benefit me. It's so different to what football is over here. So that will benefit me in the long run. But no, I'm excited to be back here, to be in a competitive league. And obviously, it's a challenge to try and get Derby in the Premier League.
So Wayne Rooney talking about his return to English football after having obviously an 18-month stint out in America with MLS side DC United. Obviously, at the moment, he is just in a coaching capacity until the beginning of January when he will sign. But one of the big questions is, in a playing perspective, where might he play?
Yeah, it depends on how the team is set up and also the opposition. So, as I've done many times throughout my career, I've played in various positions, whether it's striker, number 10 or midfield. So that's something we'll obviously discuss in that last week and before the Barnsley game and see where it's best for me to play.
So that's Wayne Rooney talking about where he might play for Derby. Obviously, he's been with DC United, as I mentioned, for the last 18 months. And obviously, we're waiting to see until January where he might play on the field for Derby. Derby have had a very indifferent start to the season, a very inconsistent start, pretty much like most of the Championship. Home form has been good, away form being very, very patchy. But with the inconsistency, there is the feeling that there are a whole host of sides that could get into the playoffs. And Rooney was asked whether he believed that the playoffs are still a possibility.
Yeah, without doubt. I think, as I said before, it's 9 points, 8 or 9 points off the playoffs, which, you know, I've lost the Premier League title with 4 games to go, being 7 points clear. So it's not even Christmas yet. So. There's still plenty of points to play for.
So Wayne Rooney believes that the playoffs are still a possibility, and I think the fact that it is being kind of so inconsistent, there is the possibility. He was also asked about whether he can bring the same bounce to Derby that he did to DC United.
Yeah, I think the difference here is it's a very tight league. We're obviously not where we want to be, but we're still not too far off the playoff spot, so... I think this league is about being consistent and you know, putting wins together, a few wins together. And if you do that in this league, you can climb up a lot of places. So that's something we haven't done all season.
So that was Wayne Rooney, obviously a press conference this afternoon. He has obviously taken over or started as a coach under Philip Cocu, but he is going to be able to play from the beginning of January. So we're just going to have to wait and see as to how he does on the field. What will he be like in the Championship? It's an interesting dynamic, that, and whether Philip Cocu will be undermined by the presence of Wayne Rooney, or whether he will make it. It's such an interesting question. Will Wayne Rooney make a good coach? There's no doubt he was a pretty good player for a number of years for Manchester United and for England. But will he actually be a real kind of success as a coach? Ultimately, you just don't know. That there are plenty of examples of bad footballers in their day that have gone on to become fantastic managers, and vice versa. Plenty of fantastic, phenomenal footballers that were just then absolutely pants when it came to becoming a manager. So there's no guarantee that, based on how you are as a footballer, that doesn't really have a massive reflection. I don't buy into the fact that just because you're a phenomenal player means that's a guarantee you're going to become a phenomenal manager. That's not the case. I think it's an open-ended book. You can be a pretty average footballer, or you can be a good footballer and still make a good manager. But it'd be very interesting to see with Wayne Rooney, to see whether, I suppose first and foremost, over the next couple of weeks when we get into January, what sort of an impact he's going to have in a playing capacity for Derby. What will his qualities be like in the Championship? Where is he at with his career? He's been over in the MLS with DC United for the last 18 months and performing at a pretty decent level there. But without wanting to sound too disrespectful to the MLS, it's not exactly the greatest of quality, so it's not necessarily particularly hard. Remember, Bradley Wright Phillips has made an absolute career for himself out there and absolutely dominated, and, well, he wasn't very good. So it shows that you don't need to be actually that good to be a success over in the MLS. So interesting to see in a playing capacity where he's up to, what will his level be like in the Championship. And also, as we've seen in the last few weeks, he's been in the dugout for Derby. Obviously, he's signed as a player coach, isn't registered to start playing until 1st of January. But in a coaching capacity, is there a risk that he could undermine Philip Cocu? And I wonder whether a couple of months ago, when they made this decision to sign Wayne Rooney, if they knew what was going to happen with all the off-field issues, whether they would have wanted to surround themselves with this situation and potentially risk the media circus coming more and more. Because Wayne Rooney will bring so much attention to Derby County. He's one of the most well-known sportsmen in this country. So, and he's been in the headlines over the years for both good and bad reasons. So he is certainly going to bring a very different type of spotlight, and this is not usual for a championship club to have this much spotlight on them. Wayne Rooney inevitably is going to bring it. How is he going to perform as a player? How is the dynamic going to work with him between himself and Philip Cocu? How will he work as a coach? Because as I said, doesn't matter how good or bad a footballer you are, you don't know, I suppose, how good or bad a coach you're going to be. There are plenty of examples of players that from a young age were always going to be destined to become managers. There are some people that weren't kind of obvious managerial leadership candidates when they were in their early parts of their footballing playing career that then went on to become managers. So it's never a guarantee in management and seeing what might unfold with these players when they suddenly retire, and then when they go into management, can they realistically make it as a manager? The answer is, until they try it, the answer to that, we simply really do not know. We're going to talk a little bit of Blackburn. We don't have much time, but we will talk a little bit of Blackburn. I'm delighted to say we are joined by Ryan Hildred, a Blackburn podcaster. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Ryan. As I said, not too much time. Let's talk about the game coming up tomorrow. Bristol City away. Rovers looking to make it 6 games unbeaten tomorrow afternoon. Things have turned around for Blackburn quite a bit, and they've shown consistency in a league that's been very inconsistent this season.
Yeah, in a league that's been inconsistent and a team that's been very inconsistent. We've been very up and down ourselves. You know, you don't know what way to feel as a Blackburn fan this season, the way that it's been. But yeah, certainly the last 5 have been really pleasing. And I said, I think on the show a couple of weeks ago about us being streetwise. That's what we look like now. We just look like a solid championship side. And going to Swansea the other night, that was a game we would have lost last season, particularly when the sides got evened up at 10 apiece. We would have folded and collapsed and lost that game. So coming away with a draw was a good point. So, yeah, pleasing all round, definitely. And I think a settled side has helped. Mowbray seems to have just landed on the right team selection now. And, yeah, long may it continue.
One man that's not going to be available for Blackburn tomorrow afternoon is Bradley Dack. He got sent off in the week against Swansea. We were talking about him earlier and how big and how significant an influence he has on this Blackburn side. 9 goals so far this season. How big a loss is he going to be? And in a tough away game like Bristol City away, who are obviously 4th place in the Championship table, how much of a loss is it going to be not to have Bradley Dack available tomorrow?
Yeah, it's going to be massive. You know, he's top scorer and he's the talisman, isn't he? So it's going to be a big loss. And Bristol City are going to be responding to that defeat against Millwall. So it's going to be a huge loss. But actually, in some respects, a little bit excited to see who might slot into that number 10 position, whether it's Lewis Holtby, whether it's Joe Rothwell, just to see what they can do. And some of the others are going to have to step up, aren't they? So, yeah, big loss. But I think we've got players that can just slot into that position, and maybe we'll offer something slightly different to that getting in and around that box.
After the last 5 games, Ryan, and this unbeaten run, because of the nature of the Championship this season, is that changing your mind? And I'm sure it's probably changing the mind of a number of sets of fans. Are you thinking, even though it may be slightly optimistic, that a top 6 spot is not a ridiculous thought this year? That in any other season, maybe it probably would be. But with this season, because it has been probably one of the craziest seasons in recent memory, that Blackburn, they won't be kind of being overzealous or going over the top with it. But do you think there's a quiet thought that there is maybe a top 6 spot available this season?
I think there definitely is a top 6 spot available, probably to about 18 clubs, just because of that crazy nature that you've described. And I mean, this time last month, we would have been having a completely different conversation about staying in the division. So, you know, it's one of them that I'm not going to get too ahead of myself or too excited, because as quickly as you put on an unbeaten run of 5 or 6 games, you can quickly go on a losing run of 5 or 6 games. So, yeah, we'll be quietly optimistic, maybe a bit realistic, see where we are, you know, at the turn of the year, see what happens in the January transfer window. And if we're still within touching distance in February, March, then why not? You've got to aim for it. So let's just keep a lid on it, stay calm, stay realistic about it. And yeah, let's see if we can do it.
And just finally then, Ryan, prediction for tomorrow away at Bristol City, a good side in 4th in the table. What are you thinking ahead of tomorrow's game?
I think it's going to be tough. I think it's a ground that that we have struggled at in the past, and we got battered there last season as well, and I do think Dak will be a big miss. We seem to have defensively just sorted ourselves out a little bit, so hopefully we can keep it tight. If I'm being optimistic, I'll say a draw. If I'm being realistic, I think we'll do well to come away with anything, if I'm being honest. But who knows? We're on a 5-game unbeaten run. Let's go there and be confident.
Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Ryan. Sorry it was so short. Ryan Hillsrud there, a Blackburn podcaster, looking ahead to a tough game away from home in Bristol City. But Blackburn head into the game with real confidence. 6 games, they are looking to make it unbeaten tomorrow afternoon. So a good run for Blackburn, but a tough away game, especially without their influential Bradley Dack available to them tomorrow. Just a rundown then of all the Championship fixtures coming up this weekend. It gets underway tonight at the Valley. Charlton play Hull. Birmingham take on West Brom tomorrow. Barnsley QPR, Brentford Fulham, Bristol City at home against Blackburn. Derby will take on Millwall. Leeds will play Cardiff. Nottingham Forest are up against Sheffield Wednesday. Preston host Luton. Stoke are up against Reading. Swansea take on Middlesbrough, and Wigan take on Huddersfield.
This is Love Sport.